Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moved by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord for that. Our Father loves us. I'm so thankful that He loves us and He cares about us. And He put things in place so that we can go forward. The Lord's love is great and is vast. He thinks of everything. I love it. When we follow Him, we have to learn that when we rely on the Lord, it's not being lazy. It's not a cop-out. Reliance is not working. It's a rest. It's the other half of peace. When you have peace, you have fellowship with the Lord. And you also have rest in Him when you trust Him, when you rely on Him. I've learned that relying on the Lord is associated with securing all of your activity. This is why I say that. When you try to do something and you really want it to work, and you really don't want to mess it up, that's when you go and ask the Lord, if you consult Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There is a resting peace in that. See, when you have peace, you're in direct fellowship with God. Peace is fellowship with the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. I found that to be true, and the Lord revealed it to me. That's why I say these things. Now, whatever He tell you is true, and if you're in fellowship with Him and you're in peace, even though you may get some unfavorable information, you can still have peace because He's still with you, and He'll give you wisdom for what you got to do. He'll show you the best way to handle it, and there's peace in it. When Paul went to jail, he was in jail, but his spirit was free to worship God. He had peace because he had done nothing wrong. He had done nothing wrong to deserve to be in jail, and he knew it. But he ended up there because of evil men. But he couldn't stay because God was with him. You're going to get to see God move when you're with Him. When you're doing this work, if you get persecuted for whatever reason, captured, caught, hurt, God is able to heal you. If you get captured, He's able to set you free and free others with you. Sometimes He'll get you in other people's arena in order to save people that's trapped in that arena. But when you trust God, you can look at it from God's perspective. A lot of times people's goals are to be safe and sound and in a good condition. That's favorable, but that's not how it always works. If you're going to go and fish people out of this world, you got to go where they are. Sometimes things happen to get you included in other people's life, or otherwise you'll never go unless you're very obedient. And because the climate of the average Christian's personality is not to go out in the outer reaches on their own, they just don't do. People don't obey God that way. That's the problem. But when you go and present yourself a living sacrifice, and you get to the point, you say, Lord, whatever you need me to do, I want to be on it. You can prepare your heart and make all the necessary adjustments so you'll stop jumping off board when God wants you on board with something. This is called following God. When you present yourself a living sacrifice to the point that you'll do whatever God's saying. And I know the importance of it. And when you're that way, if you're that way before you get married, for instance, you're the kind of person that will go the extra mile for people. You'll do whatever God say do. And then when you get married, your wife, if you're a man, will know what kind of person she's married. And somebody of like mind will do, it won't be a problem because they're willing to share you with God. They know that what you're doing is important. And I'm thinking about a couple right now. And that's Henry Gruber and his wife. Henry, she shared him with God, his wife did. And he would, sometimes in the middle of the night, when he would go out prayer walking, you know, sometimes he would go to other countries and he'd be alone. And the Lord would show him where to go. He has stopped suicide several times. Most Christians that I know would never do something like that. Now, I've never stopped a suicide that I know of. Now, the Lord has woke me. He's waking me up and had me to pray in the Holy Spirit for people. And it stopped whatever the enemy was doing or whatever plan the enemy had. But I didn't go and talk to him. A man was about to hang himself. Henry Gruber was knocking at his door and interrupted him. And then he was, and nobody comes to the door, so he walked down the street. The Lord was sending back. He'd knock on the door. Every time the man put a noose around his neck, Henry Gruber was knocking on his door at God's order. And eventually the man came to the door. And Henry Gruber gave him a word. And he said, every time I'm about to do what I'm doing, you knock on the door. He said, look at this. I'm about to kill myself. And Henry Gruber talked him out of suicide and gave him a... The man ended up getting saved. Now, how many people would obey God to that caliber? It's not normal. You know, you don't hear reports like that very often, if any. Far and few between, somebody might do something like that. But how many people around us are in sorrow now and nobody knows? They come to church. They come to church and they might be suicidal and nobody say anything. And people are there that hear from God. That doesn't need to happen. At my shop one day, all you have to do is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A girl came to my tie shop. And I'll never forget her name because I had a classmate with her name. Her name was Laquita. I don't know her last name. And Odie Berry was there, a friend of mine. And he had a van at that time, and she pulled up right behind his van. And the Lord spoke to Odie and said, death is sneaking up on you. And he went and talked to the girl. He knew by the Lord that she was suicidal. And he talked to her for a while. I saw him talking to her. And after she left, he came and told me about it. See, people are hurting. All you have to do is be sensitive. All you have to do is be sensitive. The Lord can do something when people are sensitive and they'll yield to Him. I really shouldn't have to be teaching people about following God at this day and hour. But that's the biggest problem in the church. According to the Lord. He said the biggest problem out of everything that goes wrong back in 1990, the Lord said the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. Self-will. Self-promoting. Sometimes stubborn. A lot of times people are trying to get out of work. Trying to not... They hope God don't call them to the ministry. But we're here. Now, then when you go to heaven, you wish you could be here working because you see people dying. See, when you have a God's eye view of things, your perspectives change. And how can people have a God's eye view if they don't spend time with God? If they don't... The Word of God gives you a God's eye view. The Word of God gives you what, it shows you what God, the whole, you see the scope of what's going on. And if it happened in previous generations, you can be assured that it's worse now in the world. And the only way it'll get better is if Christian people who love God will do better and raise the bar. We raise the standard when we live according to the love of God. And some people are so reluctant to do that. So the problems that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel had, you're looking at it right now in everyday life, in the newspapers, in the governments, in churches. That's where they got it from. You know, the Lord said he would send true preachers. A lot of times people relegated that to that day, but no, this is now. Most of the Old Testament scriptures of the prophets is relevant to right now, because nothing was ever done to stop it. The Lord knew it was coming, so he gave us a God's eye view of that day to help us with our day. And when you go in God's presence and learn, when you go in his presence, anything that's not right in you, it'll be revealed so that you can change it, so that you can work on yourself. When Jesus addressed the seven churches, he talked about what they did right, what they had to work with, and what they didn't have to work with, and what he had something against, so that they could go forward. And now we must learn God's ways. We must learn what he's talking about. When you give yourself over to God as a living sacrifice, and I know the challenges of it. See, that was a time I did these things by vow. I told God I'd do whatever he say. When he give me something to do, I cringe. I'd do it. I wanted to do it. I was willing. I was, in some ways I was willing, in some ways I was reluctant. And I would make myself be obedient. Well, now I know the importance of whatever God say do. I've learned to trust and rely on him. See, when you rely on him, you're willing to do anything at any moment. You're not relaxed. You're not sitting back cowering down, sitting in a chair. You're sitting in God's chair. You're sitting, you're leaning on him, but you're ready to act. That's what true reliance is. That's what true trust is. You're relying on the Lord, but you're ready to act. See, your trust, when you trust God and he give you an order, you act, and your trust turns into faith. Because faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is a verb. Reliance is a noun. But when you put action to it, it turns into faith. But it's faith not out of your mind, it's faith from the mind of God. And it'll do more than what you come up with on your own. That's why the priests wore garments that didn't cause sweat. They were not working. God was working. They were acting on his word. And our redemption is of God, not of us. Our redemption is of God, not of us. Our redemption is of God, not of us. We receive salvation. We don't work for it. We don't originate it. We don't come up with it. We rely on the Lord. And we act on his word. That's how we get to know him. And Satan can't do nothing with a person that has a mind to do God's word, a mind to act on his word immediately. And we have to train our children to act on our word. Because one day something may happen and you'll tell them don't do that. They need to be conditioned to listen. And the ones that slick and don't listen, they go out and make a fool of themselves. When they should have been listening to their parents, they did it that way and got hurt. They tried to go around their father's authority. And there are so many wives, so many ex-wives and wives that don't respect their own husband. And they don't respect their husband, and they teach their daughters and their sons not to respect their husbands or ex-husbands. And then they make a mess. I've seen this over the years. I've seen it. When I used to work on people's cars at their houses, I watched all kind of things unfold. See, you can't do nothing with a foolish person. Some people are just foolish, and they'll die that way. The world will play them to no end, and the world is relentless. But when you trust the Lord, your God and King, you can override all sorrows. And remember something, once you put something in motion, you can expect to see it again. Whatever you do, you will see it in your children. The only way to stop it is to change course and pray prayers of protection over your children, and pray over them, and teach them wisely. And marry somebody that's got good sense, that won't tear you down. If you marry a foolish person, you know, you have risk that your generations will be half foolish. You have to make wise decisions in order to harness the blessings of sowing and reaping. And you can't do that with foolish thoughts. If you marry a selfish person, don't expect your children to be generous unless they learn it from you or somebody else. Even if you teach them, if the other person is very selfish, you're going to see elements of selfishness. And they'll have hurdles to jump. That doesn't mean they can't, but they'll have more hurdles to jump. You can't run a race as fast and get to the finish line as quick if you're jumping hurdles. Parents leave hurdles for their children to jump. And sometimes they live and figure out, well, hey, I shouldn't have done that. If you believed in idols and false gods, what make you think your children are going to be stable? They're apt to do the same thing. Some people are foolish, and they teach their children, and their children become foolish. And in heaven, they won't be there. And the parent may not be there either. Sometimes you people put things in motion, and they should have been paying attention to the Lord. In order to rely on the Lord, you got to take time to get to know Him. I don't know another way to do it. And it's a privilege to get to know God in the first place. It's a privilege and a blessing to get to know the Lord your God and King. It's a privilege and a blessing and an asset to draw near to the Lord and learn His ways, do His word. It's not hard. Reliance is not a cop-out. When you trust God and you're willing to act on His word, that's the strongest life you'll ever have. But when people love the world somewhere, the devil's gonna try to wear you out with your love of the world. You got to come to a point that you despise the wicked world. And now I know I can't trust the world nowhere. So I make sure that I drive the world out of my heart, out of my mind, out of my concepts. I don't want to be lazy against God. I don't want to doubt against God. I don't want to do things that won't work against God. I want to live for Him. I want to represent Him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll help us do all these wonderful things and reject all the wicked things that hold us back. But the next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you in Jesus Christ. And I thank God that he's my Savior and King. Jesus Christ is our Lord.